You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm back in the Dog Bowl in Berea. You guys are bringing it today on the phone lines, Dog Pound. We appreciate it. And one of the reasons we're able to get everything done so seamlessly here is the good folks out at IOBM, Ohio Business Machines and Sharp Copiers. When it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team is unconditional. So is the loyalty that OBM provides to its customers with OBM's exclusive no-risk guarantee and 7-year security blanket. Teamed with OBM's designation as the only Sharp Platinum level service provider in town. So OBM can tackle any of your copier problems and you'll never scramble to keep your office running. Now the preferred document services provider of the Cleveland Browns, visit OhioBusinessMachines.com today or call 216-485-2000. Thank you for your calls, 216-578-0850, your tweets at Browns underscore daily. A couple tweets want to hit before we get to the phones. One from Kyle Bond. He says, the Play Like a Brown motto has given the organization a new identity. Doug Pattison says, Steelers like to win by punching their opponents in the mouth. That's what we did to them on Sunday. That's why I am a believer. I like that. The career coach says, Dez Bryant continues to anchor the run D. We are 3-0 when scoring off of turnovers, and we still have not lost a turnover battle yet this year. That's an important reason why this team is where it is, no question. And finally, from at Bag of Bricks, he says, the confidence in each new name on our team, it's not rebuild, it's reload. Greco didn't miss a beat when Mac went down, and I think that's important as well. You have guys stepping up every single week.
Yeah, it says a lot about this roster. And again, it's a roster that a lot of people had no belief in. And that's why at this point we're not surprised, but it's a pleasant surprise to see the depth that we have on this roster. And I think also too, the guys on this roster that we have stepping up game after game is keeping us in games, is making the plays. And as you alluded to in the last segment, it's Brian Hoyer did after the game, they don't care who gets the credit. It's when your number is called or you get that opportunity, you take advantage of that opportunity and you make that play.
Exactly right. Get it done. It doesn't matter. Once draft picks are out the window, money's out the window, when you get an opportunity, it's about making plays, and that's what the Browns have had guys do every single week. Let's go to Lenny in Brooklyn now. Lenny, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks a lot for taking my call.
You got it, Lenny.
You know, I talked to you about this issue last week, okay? I'm comfortable with everything when it comes to the Browns. I don't like all the injuries, but you got to deal with that. I was devastated when Mac went down.
Yeah.
I was glad to see Brad Kiesel shake his hand and wish him well. But my biggest concern, I talked to you about this last week, okay?
Yes.
And it is a concern, and you didn't agree with me. Look, Billy Cundiff is 7-26 from the 50-yard line on out. How can you buy into him, rely on him kicking a 50-yard field goal and longer? I just don't. It's going to come down to this in some game at some point in time. And the Pittsburgh Steelers game proved it. Perfect conditions, no humidity, no snow, no rain. The score's tied, about 4 minutes left. They didn't allow him to kick a 52-yard field goal. I think it stinks. I'll listen.
Go ahead. Oh, you'll listen. Okay. What do you think about this on the kicker thing? I think there are some interesting things to look at here from the kicker standpoint. Right now, the Cleveland Browns, okay, Billy Cundiff, the average starting position against him on kickoffs is the 18.7-yard line. That is the best of any kicker who has kicked in every game for his team this year.
Dude, and I know, and I'm pumped that I tune in to every single play of this football game because I've essentially been on the field minus the offensive side of the ball. I played defense. I played special teams. I was on the kickoff team. I was on the field goal protection team. I was on the field goal rush team. So I'm in tune to all of that, man. And this coverage team is doing an amazing job. They really are. They're making plays. I get hype with those guys. I got in trouble in the press box this week for jumping out of my chair when we tackled them at like the 16-yard line. So I don't think it's an issue as long as we understand the skill set of this football player and we don't ask him to do something he's not capable of doing. And I think right now, that's why we're having this success. Coach Pettine and these coaches understand the skill set of these players, and they're asking them to do nothing more than what they're capable of doing.
I think that's true, and I think, again, Billy Cundiff, as a field goal kicker, 0-for-1 from 50 yards this year, went off the upright against Baltimore. It certainly had the leg. He's averaged kickoff is 72.4 yards. That's in the upper echelon of the league. So he's got the leg strength. I think sometimes it is a coach preference to go ahead and punt in those situations. I think he feels more confident that he could get more points from having his defense pinned them back. The punter pinned them back as Spencer Lanning has done effectively and playing defense. I obviously, do you want a guy that you feel like you could trot out there from 55 yards at any time and have him hit a field goal? Of course, Dan Bailey's doing a great job of that for the Dallas Cowboys right now, part of their success. But I think that when you look at Billy Cundiff, what he means for field position for this team is great. As I said, he's a top two kicker in the league in terms of average starting field position. He has been very good in terms of his touchbacks. His average distance on his kicks have been very good. So Billy Cundiff right now, when you look at him in terms of, you know, his kickoff ratings, and he's considered to be one of the top 10 kickoff kickers in the league, and I think that's very important. But I think he's got the leg. He had the leg on the 58-yarder. That one went 56 in the freezing cold against New England last year. I think it's a matter of coach confidence, and not necessarily in his ability to make those kicks, but in terms of the strategy he likes to employ, why you don't see more long kicks from Billy Cundiff than you do.
The team is doing something right when we, after a victory, have to talk about our kicker.
That's good if that's, you know, what you want to.
Talking about future kicks, too. You know, yes, he's missed one, but you said he's had the leg, so it was more so accuracy.
Yeah, hit the upright.
Exactly. But so I just think we're in a good place, Cleveland fans. And I know it's, again, we don't want to fill the air with the what if. You know, we're talking about the what if next year at the quarterback position. We're talking about the what if now in season at the kicker position. You know, when it becomes an issue, it will be addressed. I promise you, this is a professional atmosphere that wants to win football games. Let's buy into that and continue to move forward to the Jacksonville
Jaguars.
And just
remember, over the average in the NFL right now, if you look at the other kickers in the NFL, based on what Billy Cundiff does as a kickoff kicker, you're picking up on average 3 to 4 yards of field position every time he kicks off. That's valuable. That adds up over the course of the game.
And also, too, with us scoring as many points, you know, we're kicking off, what, 6 and 7 times a football game. We're you know, 30, 40, you know, 40-ish some type of yards. That's huge.
That's big.
That's huge.
It's big. So I think Billy Cundiff is doing fine. I understand. And remember, though, this isn't a dome team, but people are used to the high standard of excellence set by Phil Dawson as a big leg kicker. And
who bombed one last night, which is maybe where that comes from.
55 yards
where that,
right
where
down
that question
the middle.
Comes
that was good
from
like
night.
80, by the way. All right, let's go to Mark in Cleveland Heights. Now, Mark, welcome to CBD.
Hey, guys. I'm going to give you my reasons why I've bought in.
Good.
Excuse me. Between the offensive play calling and our quarterback, how could you not believe in this team? Let me pose a little question to you. What
sure.
do Kevin Cobb, Matt Flynn, McCown from Chicago last year, and Cassell all have in common with Hoyer?
What do they all have in? They were all behind very, very good quarterbacks.
They were all injured, and then they all came in for injured player, and they were given the starting job the next year. And they all failed miserably. Matt Flynn couldn't even beat out a rookie. But Hoyer has come in, and this guy has responded, man, to all kind of pressure from a superstar from college.
Yep.
And he's answered the bell, man. That's the reason. I see him throw passes, and that's between him and the offensive play calling, where there's not another guy within 20 yards of the guy he's throwing to. So
Kyle Shanahan is tremendous with his schemes. Receivers are getting open. The line is giving him time, and Brian Hoyer is delivering and executing. But you make a good point. What Brian Hoyer showed me, and it's very interesting because at times it seemed like the competition in training camp was bothering him. But once he was given the confidence, the vote of confidence that, hey, you're the starter. There's no quick hook here. This is your team. Let's go. He's become a different guy, and he's really embraced that leadership role. It's almost like maybe he felt he was in a little bit of a personal limbo, not knowing if it was his team or not, not knowing which way this was all going to play out. And then as soon as he was given that affirmation that, yeah, this is your team, he's been lights out. He's an unquestioned leader on offense. He's so good in the huddle. He commands the huddle. He's calm. He's cool. He's collected, and he's played phenomenal football.
He definitely has. And again, I'm not going to continue that conversation, but that's probably where those comments are rooted from. You know, the last thing that he wants to do is talk about being in a competition. You know, even if he's paid money, it's being in that competition and continue to the scrutiny that's going to happen each day and answer those questions each day after practice, on through training camp, when he feels like what he's doing, not what he's done, but what he is doing is by far and above doing all the speaking for him. His play is doing his speaking. If I were Brian Hoyer, I would have said, no, thank you. I don't want to answer that question. On and on and on and on and on, because it's a non-issue right now. It's a non-issue from the guys that make those decisions, so why should it be an issue in our locker room?
And it isn't, and it's something that's going to play itself out. It's going to work itself out. These things always do. Let's go quickly to Brian in Twinsburg. Now, Brian, welcome to CBD.
Guys, love the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Couple of things. want to give some props out to the coaches.
Yep.
Remember last year the heat jug was taken for accountability for the players?
Yes.
Don't have that problem this year, do we?
It is not an issue this year. And I think a lot of that comes from the fact that, and I've spoken to a lot of players about this, Mike Pettine is upfront. He is demanding.
Direct.
But he's direct about it. And so you never are wondering, what's he really saying to me? Where do I really stand? He lets you know immediately where you stand, why you stand there, and what you can do to stand somewhere else if that's what you so desire. And the players love that.
And what I love about him, too, is if he does not have the answer, he either says, you know what, I can't answer that right now, or what he does, and he did it today, or at least I read it yesterday about the whole Manziel-Hoyer situation. He's like, you know what, that's a better question for Ray Farmer. And Ray Farmer's really not available to the media on a weekly day basis, and that contract does not occupy a thought in his mind right now, because his mind is on this football team, not next year's football team, and especially not about how much money someone's being paid. He wants to win, and he deviates it to where it should go.
I totally agree. That's exactly right. And that's why, because you have that synergy, though, at the top, that they have no problem saying, this is your lane, this is my lane, we're going to do it. And that's good. And that's why there's a lot of confidence in this team, is the real Xavier P says, I'm finally confident in my team, not just blindly following it. And he loves that. Now it's about finishing and executing on the big blueprint they have put together. Hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, returns. We're bought in. We're hearing that so many of you are bought in as well here on about this Browns team, and for good reason, and it's exciting. I like that, and so do you. We'll continue to talk about that in hour number two. Matt and I will take you on a tour around the National Football League, what we saw, what stood out to us over this week's slate of games. Jerod Cherry at 2:15. After further review at 2:30, we'll have that rocking and rolling for you in the second hour of CBD.